Welcome to the Conscious Investor. Let's get started. Excited to finally, because we schedule podcasts out far in advance, and I've been looking forward to hanging out with you, Todd. So, Todd Smith, welcome to Ask Me How I Know.
Hey, thanks for having me, Julie. It's great to record something. We've had a number of conversations, so hopefully we can just have that natural flow here and talk about a whole bunch of stuff that'll be helpful to people.
Well, you know, since I'm rolling out this new format and you're the first one that I'm recording the new format with and everything, I don't know, maybe it'll be choppy. We're going to feel awkward. I'm kidding. I don't think either of us are ever going to feel choppy or awkward, because that's kind of the point of everything. Is when you are authentic and, you know, purposeful in everything you pursue, you don't have to try to be anything. And so it just feels natural everywhere you go.
Yeah, and I think the basis of many things in life is it can be choppy and sometimes awkward. And I think one of the things you emphasize in your show is how to just move beyond those things.
Yeah, it happens. We're doing this thing in our house right now, based off of a book that my book club read called Soundtracks. Okay. And by John Acuff. Fantastic book, easy read, super fun. But he has some affirmations, slightly inspired by lots of people and then slightly inspired by Zig Ziglar. And anyway, one of the affirmations that we're doing in the morning says, momentum is messy. So there we go. It can be choppy, it can be messy, but at least you have a momentum, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really the only way to keep moving, because there's lots of times where it just feels like, I mean, in my experience, where how am I going to get past this thing? And you know, even yesterday, roadblock here, small thing to overcome there. It's kind of inevitable, especially in the world that we often are in, which is real estate investing, especially commercial stuff. There's just some moving part that has to be attended to, and it doesn't always move smooth.
You were speaking truth. Well, so tell us about what you do. And that is one of the reasons that I wanted to invite you to Ask Me how I Know. I mean, the whole purpose is you're awesome. I enjoy our conversations. I'm always leveled up and just feel a little bit lighter about life and, you know, just going about things. But I mean, you're pursuing an entire field that no one has ever come on this show about. So tell us what you do.
Okay, so what's the most succinct way to say this is something like, you know, we're trying to create purpose-driven developments in an incremental way. So many people may have heard of incremental development before, which is essentially finding, say, a lot or an opportunity in an established neighborhood or an established city where you're using existing infrastructure, adding to the density, adding to the urban fabric.
And is that the same thing as infilling?
They can be used sometimes interchangeably, yes. Incremental development, sometimes called placemaking as well, where the idea is to kind of just add to a community and enrich a community by creating something, at least in our case, we're trying to do something architecturally significant, something that is durable, that will be enduring, so 50 years from now or 100 years from now. In many ways, if you go look at maybe even in your hometown, you kind of see things are kind of built during different eras.
Definitely.
And that's kind of the incremental part of it. And then what we're trying to do is just kind of add to that sense of architectural diversity, diversity in terms of residents and serving people in a way that they can just kind of plug into what's already there and leverage what's already existing in a community and strengthen communities by building on what people already done. So that's maybe one way of thinking about it. But the whole idea, I think, is to create great places for people to live. And that's not just the kind of their built environment, like in their own, inside their own home, but how it connects to nature, how it connects to their own hometown and people who live around them, and facilitating ways to have more integration or more participation in the town that you might live in or city.
It's really interesting. When I was living in Denver, it seemed that now we moved in 2011 out of Denver. But one of the changes I noticed there was a movement of all the new developments, but those were new developments. We're trying to be more village-like and, you know, just versus here's just a whole bunch of houses kerplopped on land, you know, so people can live here. But now we have some mixed use and we have, you know, mixed to demographics and such. But I love the premise of what you guys are doing. And this is one reason why I think we really connected is like we connect on so many different levels. But it's like, wow, just being able to get in there and serve a city on that level, that provides so much. How did you get into this? Is this something you've always done, or is this something that you stumbled upon?
That's a good question. So I think it was probably born of the fact that I live in Toronto, Canada, which is comprised of, I mean, the kind of the old original part of town, if you can call it that, I suppose, is kind of comprised of, I think, 38 different distinct neighborhoods. So some of these are maybe organized around ethnicity. Some of them are organized around, you know, proximity to some sort of urban amenity that attracts a certain type of person. But I guess the point is that a lot of people in this city live in these really live in these little neighborhoods, and everything that they need, and this is the case where I live, everything that we really need is out the front door. So whether it's going to the health food store or a regular grocery store or the pharmacy or restaurants or any of these number of things that we all want to access, it's just 2 feet away we go. You know, come back with bags of stuff. And so there's something really grounding perhaps, or humanizing about living that way, because see people all the time walking up and down the street. We know the merchants who we interact with on a regular basis. And it, so I just really enjoyed that way of living. Mm-hmm. So when I thought about getting involved with development, I really wanted to do something that fit with that lifestyle and with that approach to kind of urban living and connection to your neighbors and all that kind of thing. So that's kind of, I think, where I would say the desire came from, to increase that, increase those opportunities for others.
That's really cool. Really cool. Now I grew up in suburbs. I lived in Denver. I currently live, as you know, in rural North Idaho. So I've lived in a lot of different settings. So growing up in the suburbs, there was, you didn't know your merchants. You didn't, you know, you drove everywhere. You had to drive 10 minutes to get to, you know, the grocery store or Target or whatever. In Denver, though, I can relate to what you're saying, because I had walkability. I could walk everywhere. And that was one thing when we moved there is, hey, I want to live in a place where I've got a green belt. I want to live in a place where I can walk to the bank, walk to the store, walk to the whatever I need. I want to be able to walk to it and be out and about in that capacity. And then comparing it to rural life, I have a street with maybe a dozen neighbors. and so, but there's intention, and it's interesting how intention can be different in those different settings. And by far, I think that city and rural life are more intentional ways of living than I experienced when I lived in suburbia.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I haven't lived rurally. I've lived in small towns. So I can definitely say there's a reason why people want to live in these types of environments. And for many of the reasons that you mentioned, whether it's convenience or a sense of connection to other people or access to a number of amenities that aren't in other environments. But there's something special about a rural setting that's distinct from urban living that I think is unique and draws people to one or the other. And I don't know if the suburbs really fulfill either one of those. They're kind of like a combination that obviously many people enjoy living there, but it's not the same sort of unique setup as either being fully rural or being fully urban.
I think it's the identity crisis. It's like the middle child, you know, like, no offense to anybody who's it. I'm just thinking stereotypical middle child, you know, kind of lost, like, which one am I? Who am I? Like, but you know, suburbs are fine for every, it's not a judgmental statement on the suburbs. So you had this aha moment. What, tell us about that aha moment, because this is part of your story I haven't heard. Like, so you get into development. How long have you been doing this? Was it a change in career paths or?
Yeah. So about 10 years ago, I started working with a group here in Toronto that was doing green housing, essentially. So we were working with individual clients, and a lot of it was, we did brand new stuff as well as rehabilitating, renovating existing structures. So that just kind of got me more, I entered in on the design end of things, because I really enjoyed the purpose of design in, you know, a built environment. So within a few years, I was interested in doing something on my own, and that's kind of where it started. So we started working on projects just in kind of in my general side of the city, because one of the things I wanted to avoid doing was having to like drive and zigzag everywhere. So Maybe this isn't that different than many people who are, you know, whatever strategic decision you make in your life or business, we tried to keep it within like a couple of kilometers and, mm-hmm. and rehabilitated a number of smaller multifamilies in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And then this project came out about because we're actually looking at moving to this town and saw this piece of property and thought, well, you know what, this could be a good development spot. I was kind of interested in doing something ground up, but if it doesn't work out, we'll just move here because it's a bucolic spot that's really close to everything that we want to walk to in our kind of a current urban living environment. So that's kind of how this project got started. And it's a kind of a different animal than rehabbing smaller multifamily, just because this particular project has, you know, infrastructure installation involved. So we've got to install sanitary and water. It's like a small extension off of an existing neighborhood in this kind of infill lot, but it didn't have those services. So there's just another level of prep, learning, waiting, because there's lots of waiting whenever you're getting these so types of things done. And but now we're actually breaking ground on that horizontal work, the infrastructure work, starting next week. So that's good.
Congratulations.
Yeah. It's been a while coming. That was kind of the transition. It was fairly organic in that sense.
Right. That is really organic. That's really exciting to know that you get to be part of something that is, you know, going to outlive your lifetime and mine. Buildings don't just go away. I mean, natural disasters do happen and such. But in general, when we look around communities, like, as you mentioned earlier, there are, you know, buildings from every different era being represented. And now you get to leave something behind this contribution. And that's extraordinary.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the interesting things about, you know, towns that are built incrementally is that I think in our neighborhood, for example, you get a really good sense of what happened in the past and how that built form reflected perhaps the values of the era and the needs of the people who were living when they were built. And then as new structures have been either inserted or added onto, or old stuff has been demolished and we've had, you know, newer development put in, you can kind of see what's happening in the culture show up in what is being built on the street. So it's pretty fascinating that the built environment really connects our past and how, when you kind of where we came from and what the things were that defined our culture at a certain point in time, and then carries that through into where we're going in terms of our kind of future expectations and hope perhaps. So it's really interesting to be involved in that continuum and making a contribution to that.
I've never heard it expressed like that. And it's very interesting to hear it put that way, because I hope that everyone listening, as you're driving around the communities and you're traveling, to look for those signs. And that's neat to have that connection to the past. And then to, you know, look with anticipation to the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not very often we would consider that when you're just driving around, but mm-hmm. You know, there are people who put blood, sweat, and tears and their great hopes and dreams into all these things that we see built around us, whether it's a building or some other kind of amenity in a town or a city. But it represents people. It represents their life, their contribution, what they're hoping for them and their families. So I think there's a lot of human story where we live and what we see around us.
Oh, I love it. Well, you know what we're going to do right now, Todd? We're going to wrap up this segment, and I'm going to let the awesome listeners know that you're going to need to stay tuned for the next segment that will be released in the next day or two. And that segment is going to be amazing. But I wanted to introduce Todd before we gave you the next segment. So Todd, if someone's listening right now and they're really stoked on what they're hearing you say and it's connecting with them, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
I'm definitely active on LinkedIn, so you can find me there. LinkedIn, I can't remember the actual hashtag, but it's like whatever. Just look for S. Todd Smith. That gets to me on LinkedIn. You can also go to our website, which is www.dept, as in department, 356.com. Those are the two best places, I would say.
I love it. Until next time, everyone, live big, love bigger, and go make today the best. Feeling alone? Disconnected? Conscious investors often feel alone or disconnected because of their unique perspective and desire to expand their thinking. But the journey of a lifetime isn't meant to be solo or forged by grit alone. Join the Conscious Investor community on Facebook, link arms, exchange ideas, and expand your thinking on finances, relationship, and community. Join the Conscious Investor group on Facebook today.